Philippians 2, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. 13 and 14, Paul writes, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." Don't misuse your freedom. Rather, serve one another in love. A man walked into a cafe. It was one of these greasy spoon cafes. And he asked, eventually, looking at the menu, for eggs and bacon, and a few kind words. A disgruntled waitress eventually brought his food to his table and put it down on the table in front of him. There were the eggs and the bacon. He turned to her and said, and a few kind words. "Don't eat those eggs," she said. Have you been served by somebody like that? Do we serve like that? Begrudgingly, because it has to be done. Serve one another humbly in love. There are different ways to serve. At your service, 9 till 5, but do not call at 5:01, because I'm clocking off and that's it. You get that attitude. I'm doing my duty, yes, but this is just a job. No devotion shown beyond 5:00. Some, of course, serve out of pride, not humility. To be seen is their goal. To be commended, to be recognized in what they do. Some only serve those it's in their interest to serve. Climbing the corporate ladder involves serving those on the rungs above them, but only until they get above them, and then it's payback. You know, the world works, if you think about it, on that pyramid of power, doesn't it? The one at the top, served by all the others underneath. And the ones at the bottom, longing to climb up and get a higher position. But Christ's kingdom works on an inverted pyramid, doesn't it? The greatest is the servant of all. Serve one another. Is it possible for everyone to serve one another? I mean, do you not just have to have some sort of organization, some sort of structure? There's a song that's not in our hymn book, but it's in many others, a chorus. "Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let me be your servant too. You need grace to serve, and you need grace to be served. Because you hear these days, church and outside church, I can manage. I don't need help from anybody else. Pride insists I can manage. But in the family of God, we are to serve one another humbly in love. There are givers and takers, aren't there? Givers and receivers in life. There are in church life too. But if you're a giver this evening, you need to learn to receive. And if you're a receiver mainly, I know it's not black and white, 100%, but if you're a receiver a lot of the time, we need to learn to give. The exhortation to serve one another is, of course, in response to the life of service that our Lord displayed. And that's why I read Philippians chapter 2 to you as the backdrop, really, to what I want to say. For it highlights how he became a servant, how he gave his all, became nothing, even going to the cross for you and for me. Now, within those verses in Philippians 2, it does say in verse 4, and we need to highlight this, we're instructed to look after others as well as ourselves. It does not say, just pour yourself out and burn yourself out and have nothing. It says, look after yourself, but look after others as well. Because if we don't look after ourselves, how will we be able to look after others? If we're to hope to minister to others in any way, practical ways, sharing just a little thought or something, we need to ourselves receive from the Lord, don't we? We need to receive from him the strength that we then can exert and share with others. So this evening, the message is not about somehow mustering up energy from somewhere to serve, but receiving from the Lord that we might give and share with one another. In verses 6 to 8 of Philippians 2, it speaks of Jesus and the steps down that he took, coming from the glory, not considering equality with God something to hold on to. He comes down, giving himself as a servant. And then wonderfully from verse 9 to 11, the steps up as he receives honour and glory. What a Saviour we have. Let us focus on him. What a Saviour we serve. But how do we serve him? In what ways? Now, of course, there's a multitude of ways. Tonight, we've had people working behind the scenes here, serving. Of course, there's opportunities to serve not just on a Sunday, but beyond in the week, in all sorts of ways. To serve is just to help, isn't it? Put very simply. I was thinking about the old days when we did the luncheon club. Some of you know I'm not ambidextrous at all. I'm very right-sided. I've mentioned this before. I have a little wife who, when we make flat-pack furniture, she always has to get in and do the little things on the left-hand side. I'm very right-handed. And I mention that because when we used to do luncheon club, it used to put me on the end of the serving hatch, and I would just... right-handed, all right? Peas, carrots, that was it. Well, I don't know whether it helped. I guess it did. I did it quite a few times and always seemed to get put there at the end of the line. Giving what I was given to others. Helping, serving is helping. And whether it's a cup of cold water, I was speaking a little on that this morning at Canewdon, just in the practical ways that we can help a neighbour, a friend, someone in our community. Or whether it's perhaps more spiritual, we can give a testimony of what the Lord has done and means to us in our lives. You know, whatever it is, it's serving, helping others to know Jesus, to see his relevance, to see what he means to us. To serve is to help. But as I mentioned last week, and we listed a few of them, there are so many one another's in the scriptures, and the whole area of service has a number of one another's to consider as well. And so it's my aim just to bring those to your attention this evening. Because, yes, to serve is to help. But more than that, Romans 12 verse 10 tells me to serve is to give preference to another. In honour, preferring one another, says the Authorised Version. Putting others' needs before your own. The story is told, I'm sure it probably has its origins in truth somewhere, that a famous musician was asked which was the most difficult instrument in the world to play, and he could play quite a few of them. And he said, after some thought, second fiddle. To play second fiddle is the hardest instrument to play. In our reading from Galatians 5, prior to the call to serve one another, comes this. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another. There's the two options, the two choices, to do it your own way, to pamper after self, to put self first, or to serve others. And it hinges on that word, rather. Here is a different way to live. Here is a different way to go. Our default position is to pander to self, but we do have a choice. Martin Luther tells a story on his table talk to family members about two goats that met on a cliff edge. You know, the way goats do, they walk almost seemingly miraculously onto the cliff edges. And there was basically two goats coming head on in collision on a pass on a cliff edge with a ravine down in front of them, just the path. What was going to happen? And he tells how one goat kneeled down, lay down as low as possible for the other goat to go over it. Now you would think, surely not. A goat's nature is to butt into each other, ram into each other. But he'd seen this, and he tells us the story of it. So often we get to loggerheads. There seems no way through. An impasse. The only way through is for one to lower, to prefer the other to go higher, to go above. Prefer one another. Now, I don't think there's anybody in this room that would say, well, yeah, that is the Christian way, that's the right way. But is it always our way? Or are we like the goats in other scenarios, horns locked together? In that letter to the Galatians, the major problem there was that there was a major group that were wanting to, were falling into legalism. They wanted circumcision, they wanted the old ways. But there were another group who wanted away with the rules completely. License to do what they wanted. Legalism and license. Some thinking they could keep rules to please God, no. Some thinking they could discard with the rules altogether, no. In Christ we are free. We read that. We are free to serve, free to live for him, not misusing our freedom, not pandering to ourselves and our sinful nature. In Christ, we are free. Because of his love for us. Because of what we're going to celebrate upon this table. But how do we respond to what he's done for us? By seeking to please him, of course. Expressing our love in what we do, in how we serve. I was thinking about the early church. Many of the early believers were slaves in the Roman Empire. There were, of course, some influential converts, but there were a lot of slaves who came to Christ, who made up the early church. And I can just imagine the letter arriving there for the Galatians that records, in Christ there are neither slave nor free. I can imagine the cheer going up. Every believer is a son or daughter, an heir in Christ. Can you just picture the scene? But to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12:13, whether slave or free, he says, we are one in Christ because we've been given the one Spirit. And then they would receive a message like this we've looked at tonight. And can you imagine the slaves reading, serve one another? Oh, not this again. I thought we'd been free from this. But no, we're free in Christ. Free to serve. Can you imagine the converted free man receiving the same instruction? I'm a slave to no one. But no, I am. I'm a servant of Christ, and therefore I'm a servant to his body, to the church, to his people. To serve is to give preference to another. To serve is to submit. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, of course, the last part of that verse is very important, out of reverence for Christ. We don't submit as a doormat to be walked over. We don't submit to bullying and intimidation. We don't submit blindly to those promoting error. We check what people say. We certainly don't submit to those who've not submitted themselves to God. But we do submit out of reverence for Christ. When you read around those verses, it's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. Spirit-filled relationships in families. Spirit-filled life functioning as Christ has shown us in his relationship with his church. Love as Christ has loved us comes again and again. Submitting to doing things his way. There are a number of occasions in the Gospels where the disciples were told to let down their nets, and they never wanted to, but they were always glad afterwards that they did. Nevertheless, Lord, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Peter and the others submitting to Christ and knowing great blessing. There's great blessing in serving, submitting to Christ, doing things his way, in reverence for him. I'll do it your way, Lord. No hidden agenda, but simply for you. To serve is to help, and we all need help. To serve is to give preference. That's not natural, supernatural, preferring one another. To serve is to submit in reverence to Christ. To serve is to be devoted. We're hearing this morning about this. We can't be half-hearted in service. That's where it goes wrong, doesn't it? Somebody starts half a job and then wanders off, their mind's on something else, and they just leave it. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, Romans 12:10 goes on to say. Prefer one another and be devoted to one another. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Of course you do. One of the most famous parables of all. Remember the cost that was involved. What the Good Samaritan did on the day, risked his life. And what he did in the days that came after, when nobody else was watching, he paid for the injured man's keep and treatment. It went on, didn't it? The care that he gave. Serving with devotion. Serving in love with commitment. There's a verse in Psalm 123 that perhaps seems a million miles away from this, but it's not. Psalm 123 talks about how a slave has his eye upon his master. A maid looks to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. With a commitment, with a focus, with devotion, the slave, the maid, looks to the master, to the mistress. How do we look to the Lord? Do we look with devotion? Well, you've come out tonight in the rain, so, you know, have a brownie point. But if we're looking to the Lord, you know, we're not just, you know, we're not floating in the clouds. We see the body of Christ all around us. In our brothers, in our sisters. In the needs that there are amongst us. Are we as quick and as devoted to see and to do what we can in such situations? The servant just watched so closely, just for a move of the hand to respond. But because we live in the world we live in, because the individual is king, do we see the need? Even in this place, but do we see the need in the wider community around us? We're watching the Lord. Well, yes, look to his word, of course. Look to him to guide you by his spirit through his word. But look for the daily opportunities that are around us too. Opportunities to serve the Lord, to serve in Jesus' name. You know, tonight we're coming to the communion table and we'll be coming to it very shortly. It's a table prepared for us by the Lord's actions as the servant of all. He gave himself, preferring you to benefit from his actions. He submitted himself to death upon a cross. He demonstrated his devotion to you and to me. So this is the right place tonight for us to meet his love with ours, as one of those modern choruses says, to respond to him. Will you serve one another humbly in love in his name? Will you help? And go on helping, giving preference even to others at expense to yourself, submitting, being devoted. Sounds like another planet. In one sense, it is another planet from this world in which we live. But what a difference. It's a great challenge, but what a difference. What a different way of living to those around us. Serve one another humbly in love. Let us not be begrudging. Let us not be because we have to, but because we want to. Because our Lord has shown us this is the best way, the fullest way, His way for each one of us. Take a moment to pray before we prepare ourselves to come to His table. Think about your own situation. Think about those opportunities, those things that you do. Again, not to pat yourself on the back, but just to examine our own hearts and say, Lord, I want to do this humbly. I want to do this in love for those around. Lord, you know each one of us. Again, we thank you for the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. We thank you for one another. Thank you for those who are such a blessing. Thank you for the opportunities we have amongst ourselves to serve you. Thank you too for the way that there are opportunities beyond this place to serve you. And I pray that you would help us, guide us to make the most of these opportunities, to show your love and to do what we do, not for recognition's sake, not for ourselves, but for you and your glory. As we come to your table now, as we remember the lengths, the extent you went to serve, to lay down your life, may it inspire our hearts. More than that, may your Holy Spirit just take our hearts, our minds, our wills, our everything, and mould us and make us more like you, Jesus. Not just on a Sunday evening, but Monday morning and every day this week. So that we, as the body of Christ, may be more visible and make more of an impact on those that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.